If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Cavaliers basketball coming up a little bit later on tonight here on WHBC. Cleveland playing host to the world champion Los Angeles Lakers, and LeBron James coming back to Cleveland. Cavaliers took it on the chin yesterday in Boston. They destroyed the Celtics after beating the Nets in back-to-back games. So they're at 500 right now, 8-8. And we wanted to get a perspective on the Cavaliers and the rest of the NBA for a guy who covers the league on a regular basis at 48minutes.com. Our good buddy Sam Amico joining us right now via the Wake 'em Way hotline. How are you, Sam?
I'm doing well. How are you?
We're not bad. We're hanging in there, Sam. Trying to figure out if the Cavaliers are for real, or did you just catch the Nets at the right time, all the moves they've made. Give me your thoughts on this team through 16 games right now, 8-8, as they get ready to take on LeBron and the Lakers tonight.
Well, I think tonight will tell us a lot about them. You know, you're allowed to have some clunkers, particularly when you go on the road against Boston, which is, one of the premier teams in the East, and a team that's been there before, so to speak, and the Cavs are kind of just finding their way. So, you know, I think their record of 8-8 is pretty accurate, which is probably a little bit of a surprise, but it's a nice surprise for them. So, you know, this is a team that's going to have its ups and downs. That's just what the season is going to bring, because their best players, other than Drummond, are pretty young. They've had a lot of injuries, just a ton of injuries to start the year. So, you know, I think that overall, last night being the exception, they've been a pleasant surprise and have played hard, been much improved defensively, and, you know, seem to have a rising star in Colin Sexton. So, there are a lot of good things about them, and they've, other than last night, they've been through the first 15 games, they've been a lot of fun to watch.
Sam, obviously, since a big deal was made a week ago or so, we've seen what has happened with the Brooklyn Nets, and not to say that it's not going to work, but they go 1-2, and everybody was saying, oh, they're going to be the power team in the East. And it's, like I said, it's too soon to find out, but we probably all think that that's going to happen, that Brooklyn will eventually probably at least contend. How do you foresee this working out for the Cavaliers with Jarrett Allen and Torian Prince?
I think it was a great trade. They got those mm-hmm. two players for virtually Dante Exum. And I just think that it fills a need. You know, Jarrett Allen, is he a starting center in the NBA? I think that they're trying to figure that out, because it's going to be tough with the Andre Drummond situation, with his contract expiring. Extension talks not going anywhere. It seems like they're going to have no choice but to trade him before the trade deadline in March. So, you know, and you're probably going to trade JaVale McGee, mm-hmm. too. We've heard those talks about the Brooklyn Nets, again, are very interested in McGee, and that would be an easy trade to make. But the Cavs are going to have to figure out, is Jarrett Allen a starting center in the NBA? I think they think he is. Mm-hmm. They just want to make sure. So it gives them some breathing room, you know, and makes the extension talks with Drummond, okay, we can't work it out. It's okay to trade him because we have Allen, and Drummond will bring back another big guy. And I think Prince is going to be a nice fit in Cleveland. He's had his moments elsewhere. I think that in Cleveland he'll be the perfect guy off the bench, that wing guy who can – even play some power forward or some quote unquote stretch four, which he's going to have to do tonight with Larry Nance Jr. out. So, I think that was a great trade for the Cavs, an excellent trade, given that they gave up nothing and got two guys who could be a part of their core for years to come.
Sam, obviously, last night watching the AFC Championship game, I'm going back and forth between Cavaliers, Celtics, and then the football game. But when I got to the Cavaliers game, they were already behind by like 20. So my question is this. I didn't get to see the beginning of that game. Has J.B. Bickerstaff, has he settled on a starting lineup right now after the trade or no?
I think he has, except for the fact that you've had, what, Kevin Love for a few quarters so far this year?
Two games.
And then you've had, you've been missing Garland and Sexton, but, you know, obviously everybody healthy. The lineup is going to be Andre Drummond, Kevin Love, Isaac Okoro, Garland, and Sexton. That said, you know, again, you're probably going to have to trade Drummond, and that's going to shake things up a little bit. You can slide Allen right into that role. You're probably going to end up trading JaVale McGee. You're probably trying to trade Love. Good luck with that. Mm. But for now, yeah, I think the starting lineup settled. It's just you've had so many injuries, and you know, the trade rumors aren't going to go away anytime soon. So I think that for now the starting lineup is set, but it's probably going to look a lot different in a month or two.
Sam Amico is our guest. You can follow him on Twitter, at Amico Hoops. Check out his website, 48minutes.com, spelled out 48minutes.com. Great basketball website. You mentioned Kevin Love. He's still out with an injury. What's the latest on Kevin Love? When might we see him back, or are they overprotecting him so they can trade him? Because if he's hurt, nobody's going to want him.
I can't imagine that it's I would think that he'd be very close to coming back with the strain. You know, some of these injuries with them are a total mystery. We haven't heard word one about Matthew Dellavedova, who,
that's right,
unfortunately, you know, had that concussion. And it's obviously very severe. And, you know, I've heard talk that maybe he's done, that the concussion was so severe that you just don't want to risk playing again, which would be very unfortunate for a guy who obviously is a total warrior. But to answer your question, Kenny, you know, Kevin Love should be due back, I would think, next week or the following week. I don't know that the Cavs are overprotecting him at this point. Maybe they might be erring on the side of caution in a week or two and maybe hold him out a couple extra games. But I think they want him back out there because this is a team that's, you know, frankly, through the first 15 games, again, last night really was a setback. But through those first 15 games, this is a team that looks like, you know, we're gearing for the playoffs. We want to get some playoff experience for Sexton and Garland and Okoro and some of the other young guys. So I would think that they'd want to bring Kevin back as soon as they can to kind of make that push, as well as perhaps showcase him a little bit for a trade. Teams are going to be very hesitant to trade for him right now, obviously, because you don't know the severity of the injury.
Sam, as you look at this team, you mentioned him a little bit ago, an emerging star in Colin Sexton. Is he an all-star? Does he have the capability of being an all-star, or is he just a good scorer? I don't get, unfortunately, Fox Sports Time Ohio now because I have YouTube TV. So I haven't seen this team play. I've listened to him, but I haven't seen him play. Sexton's putting up great numbers with the exception of last night. So give me your thoughts on Colin Sexton in year three. Is he an all-star?
I think he's right on the verge. He's definitely a borderline all-star. You know, the all-star game so often is the best players off the teams that have winning records. So come time when, but he's there. He's a borderline guy, and I think that against the Nets, he really outplayed Kyrie Irving one game and matched him shot for shot the next. Now, you know, is he going to be anything more than what he is today? Maybe not, but that's okay. You know, I mean, you need guys who can fill it up, and that's what he does. His strength is filling it up, and he's helping them get some wins, and that's really key. That's where you come into an all-star talk, is it's like, is he a winner? Well, he is. You know, the first 2 years, I would say, he looks to me kind of like a Monta Ellis type, who's just going to score a lot of points. Is he going to help you win games? I don't know. This year, I think that he's really kind of emerged as a guy who is like, he's going to help us win games on top of putting up a lot of points. I mean, the way he played against the Nets that first time, the first game when they beat him, just showed. I mean, the guy really came through in the clutch, hit big shot after big shot, despite the fact they were all over him. I think that he's a borderline all-star for sure. And if he keeps going at this rate, there won't be any doubt. So, Kenny, I got to tell you, you guys, a lot of people are struggling. I have YouTube TV, too, and we also have Hulu. We had Hulu TV, and neither one of those places are showing regional sports network games, which is weird because usually they come to an agreement by now. But
right.
That has been probably my number one complaint from readers and fans,
sure,
is that they can't watch the games, and it's been awful. It's been awful for fans, especially because you can't go to the games. So
right.
That's just it. They got you hooked. We had the same thing with the NBC affiliate when they were fighting with DirecTV, and it's just unfortunate that they would do that, take advantage of the fact that there's a pandemic going on. Sam Amico is our guest right now. Sam, it's hard to imagine this, fellas. We're, what, 8-10 games away from the three-quarter pole mark, right,
okay,
in the season?
Yeah.
And the team's 8-8, and we're looking at this. Sam, and my question's got to be this. You started off the season – they led the league, or they were like two or three in assists. They were scoring almost at will. Now they're a top 10 team defensively, and we know that was the angle J.B. Bickerstaff wanted to take. Who is this team?
He has been, first of all, Bickerstaff has been fantastic, just fantastic. There's never any questioning his rotation. There's never any questioning the team's effort. I mean, even last night, they just got blown out by a really good team on their court, you know. Honestly, you look at him and you think of the coaches that they've had. I don't know that they've had this good of a fit for a team since, you know, Mike Fratello in the 90s, maybe even Lenny Wilkins. He's just the players. He has the players' attention. He has their respect. He is not, you know, he's not one of those guys who's like Greg Popovich where he's, you know, shouting stuff and his voice is booming off the walls of the gym. He's a player's coach through and through, but he can also lay down the law. I just think that, you know, his experiences in the past have probably helped him grow as a coach, and he just fits this roster and the personality very well. I think this team, look, if the front office wants to win, which is always a question mark for me, do they want to win or do they want to get back
right
into the draft? I think if they want to win, you know, at the very least, they're going to be in that playoff play-in game at, you know, a top 10 seed. They very well could be in the playoffs. I mean, Toronto may not make it this year. Orlando may not make it this year. There's two spots open right there. So, you know, you would think that the Cavs would be able to get into the playoffs if they want to go. And I kind of get the feeling that Dan Gilbert wants them to go. And, you know, look, it's a great draft coming up supposedly, but so what? How many draft picks do you need? They've had, what, how many since, you know, Colin Sexton? They've had like five top six or seven picks since Colin Sexton. So, you know, at some point you got to start building a positive culture and creating an environment that wins, and then make the most of your draft picks. You don't always have to draft in the top 10. You know, I mean, Giannis Antetokounmpo, number 15 pick, Kawhi Leonard, number 15 pick. They must be the two best players in the league today.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you just make the most of your draft picks eventually, and you start winning games, because otherwise, guess what you're doing if you're losing games on purpose all the time? You're creating an environment that guys can't wait to leave.
Yeah. Sam, it's amazing you say that. And I was wondering the same thing because, you know, this time of year you see in the NFL anyway, you're losing coaches, they're hiring and firing general managers. So with that being said, we talk about J.B. Bickerstaff, the head coach of the Cavaliers. What about Kobe Altman's job as general manager right now? What are your thoughts on Kobe Altman?
I you know, I'm always tough on the GMs. I think it just comes with the territory, but I really think he's done a very good job at creating that positive culture. I mean, look at the Kevin Porter situation where it was like, you step outside that circle, man, you're gone.
Yeah.
And he did, and that was it. You know, they're not going to tolerate that. They're not going to, for better or worse, and Kevin's a good guy, but you step outside of what they're trying to build here, they just aren't going to put up with it. And I think Kobe has done an excellent job at winning in the trades that he makes. I mean, you look at Jared Allen and Prince for nothing. He got Andre Drummond for two guys who aren't even in the league anymore. He got, when he made the trade for Kevin Porter Jr., who was the 30th pick, which at the time looked like a great trade. You know, Porter was drafted by the Pistons. He just gave up a bunch of second rounders. He got them for nothing. So I think that you can rely on him and count on him to win trades. Okay, that's one. Number two, the Cavs, the only way they're going to get people here is the draft and trades. What they do. They just, you know, guys aren't clamoring to get to Cleveland right now. So I think in those two areas, Kobe Altman has flourished, but I also think he's done a great job at, you know, weeding out guys who don't belong in this culture and getting a coach who's developing what he wants in terms of a culture and a game plan and a strategy. And I give Kobe an A right now. And I tell you that as a guy who probably doesn't give GMs A's very much, especially when LeBron James isn't on the team, because the Cavs have not been good when he's not here. So, so far, so good with Kobe Altman.
All right, we got about a minute and a half left, and let's end right there. He's coming back tonight. He's coming home again. It completes the trifecta, if you will. Kyrie, back-to-back games. Tristan Thompson at Boston last night. The Lakers and LeBron tonight. What do you think the reception's going to be for LeBron tonight, coming back to Cleveland once again as a Laker and as a world champion Laker?
Well, I'm sure it'll be strong. I wrote about this earlier, Kenny. It's kind of weird because there's probably, because of the pandemic, there's never been less of a buzz with a LeBron return. You know, I mean, it's just, there's going to be, what, maybe 1,400 people there. It's probably not going to have, you're not going to have a lot of media there. The credentialing, media credentialing is going to be obviously very limited. And you know, the fans, you may have 1,400 people who cheered Kyrie the other day, but you know, I think LeBron will get a positive reception. The guy still does a lot. He's very proud of Northeast Ohio. He's a proud product of Akron, and they won a championship here. And it's just, you know, it's hard to dislike the guy. He's winning again, and he brings the area a lot of pride. Now, of course, Kenny, I tweeted out earlier that, you know, in order for this to be complete, the Cavs, or the Detroit Pistons, who the Cavs play next, have to sign J.R. Smith between now and Wednesday, so that way they can keep this going, right? Because Kyrie, Tristan, LeBron, you got to get J.R. in there, and he's just sitting at home, so why not?
Well done, Sam Amico, and thanks for the time. Keep up the great work at 48minutes.com. Follow him on Twitter, at Amico Hoops. Sam, we'll talk again down the road. Be well, my friend, all right?
All right, guys. Thanks a lot for having me. Talk to you soon.